Good evening. It's 8:40 Eastern, February 18th, 2019, calling to order a meeting of the Pacifica National Audit Committee. Since our secretary is not here tonight, I will call the roll. So here we go. Adriana Casanave is not here. Adrienne LaViolette, not here. Carol Travis informed me she wouldn't make it. Serene Roberts. Serene, are you here? Okay, I am here. Elaine Duncan?
Here.
Grace Aaron?
Here.
Jamie Gomez?
Here.
James Sagerton. No James yet. Julie Hewitt.
Here.
Ken Laufer.
Here.
Muscula Washington. No Muscula. Paulina Vasilia.
Here.
And I know Max C is here as well.
President.
On the list. Okay, great. We can get started. Do I have a volunteer for a pro tem secretary for tonight? Somebody, please.
I can do it. It's Julie.
Okay. Thank you, Julie. And a timekeeper, perhaps just one. Does anybody volunteer?
I can do that for you. Elaine.
Elaine, thank you. Thank you. Okay. So the agenda that I sent out is, the draft agenda is pretty short. If anybody has anything to add, please speak up as I read through what we've got here. We're looking for updates on audit-related issues, including progress, where positive and or less so. The issue of the Franchise Tax Board, I put a plural there, it should just be one board, and I don't know if anybody's got anything else specific. Since Scott will be joining us for a little while, something he says may raise some other issues. And my next point was if there are any updates on when we would appoint new officers, to the audit, on the audit committee. I'm not sure when.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you don't have to answer that now. We'll get to it during our conversation. But I've lost track, so that's why I put it here. And then just next point is action items and other new business, and then to select the next meeting date. Any other additions from anyone? If not, can I hear a motion to approve the agenda?
So moved.
Any objections to approval? Okay, the agenda is approved. Great, thank you. Let's see. I'm looking to see if Scott has signed on yet. I guess he will in a minute, literally. From what I can tell, there hasn't been a lot of movement. We did ask George if he could join us tonight, and he's not able to. Maxie, had you heard from Wondren at all?
I have not. I'm not sure. I don't know if she was aware of this meeting or not.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think from now on I will try to send out a notice to people who aren't formally on the committee but tend to join us. try to make sure they're also informed. And I see Scott has joined us.
Serene?
Yes, Serene.
So today is a national holiday. I staff.
Yeah, it is. But so that's, you know, that happened last time too. And, you know, I'm not sure what to say about that. But I suspect
you should not expect her to work on a holiday just because this committee.
Well, I was just going to say that Wondrin is probably not working today. So there you go. All right, Scott, welcome to our meeting tonight.
Thank you
for coming.
No problem.
And so, great. So, of course, we're going to ask you if you've got updates for us or a status you can share with us or generally what's going on that Max can also fill in after that.
Sure. Status-wise, the auditors are in a holding pattern. As I mentioned in previous meetings, that we're at a point now where we're kind of backed off giving NIDA and management at Pacifica time to kind of work through the remaining things that are open on the PBC list and get those to us before we reschedule time and restart the audit. So since we last talked, I know that George has uploaded some information related to fixed assets. He has uploaded some additional information since we last talked about cash. One of the things that we worked through, I think, from one of our Monday at 1 o'clock calls was trying to get the confirmation process going, and that consisted of just having the check signers for the various bank accounts and their contact information, mm-hmm. and specifically email addresses. So we've reached out to people. I think Wondrin was able to provide us some of the missing items as well as George. So that process right now, we've gone ahead and initiated the confirmations for, I think, for 16, 17, and 18. We confirmed the opening balances just because it's a first-year audit for us, and then the September 30, 17 for the 17 audit. And then since we got all the contact stuff, we figured we would just go ahead and request confirmations for 18, so that way it will be there waiting for us when we're all ready to get to that point. Other than that, probably the lion's share of the status update might rest with George and the folks at NIDA, because I know they've been working through, you know, the remaining balance sheet items, which are, you know, I know we talked a lot about where we go with the audit, whether or not we kind of call it as is, and whatever the opinion is. But for the sake of going forward, we do need to nail down as much as possible the balance sheet items, because they have that carryover impact into 18. And so I know that George and his group have been working with that, as well as working with Wondrin and Maxi on those too. So, like I said, we're kind of in a holding pattern on my end.
It sounds like we might be able to say that things are somewhat farther along than you necessarily would know about. Is that probably true? You know, more items that are in George's hands.
They could be. I mean, you know, we tend to have these calls at 1 o'clock on Mondays. I know that we didn't have one today because of the holiday. You know, there's not a lot of communication that goes on other than that. You know, we have a portal set up that everyone's uploading stuff into, so it's more secure and whatnot. And the portal will notify me when something's been added to it. So that's kind of my, at this point, passive way of knowing when new information has been sent. I see, you know, various things kind of pop up during the week. Some of the things, you know, we kind of go into, and of course they generate a little bit more questions. But like I said, at this point, until George and the folks at National say that, hey, we think we've given you everything that we can, we've got people redeployed in other directions. So we're just trying to accumulate everything so that when we dive in to get it done, we can literally just plow right through and get it done as quickly as possible.
Right. I'm sort of wondering, how are we doing Do you see us preparing for 2018, you know, in the ways that we talked about before, you know, trying to get through 2017 quickly so we could just, you know, jump into 2018? Or are we still not even, you know, anywhere
near
there? Any idea?
I guess there's two ways to kind of manage a project. You can manage it linearly, where, you know, you focus on one thing and get it finished and start the other. Or you can kind of try to multitask. And, you know, from my experience managing audits and having, you know, multiple audits going on at the same time with different clients, different deadlines, I probably tend to be more of the throw all the balls up in the air and, you know, try to time it so that they all land where they need to when they need to. My recommendation at that point is we can put together a FY18 PBC list. It will probably look very similar to the 17 list. Unfortunately, you know, had we been closer to completing the 17 audit when I send this PBC list, we could certainly tailor it for some of the information and things that we've learned and are more familiar with as we finish the 17 audit. But that being said, my recommendation would be, and I guess this really is a question to George and his group as to what resources they have available, but I would think, given the fact that we're at February 18th right now, I would recommend that we send the 18 PBC list, and maybe some portion of his team starts working on pulling that information together. Because I think at this point, if we wait until we're completed with the 17 audit before everybody starts focusing on the 18 prep, we're going to very easily miss June.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. Maxie, go ahead.
Yeah, Scott, I'm wondering if there's two questions I think might be helpful for the committee. The first is, has anything changed from the last time we had talked about cutting off, you know, having sort of a cutoff date for the fiscal year 16, 17, and 18 audits? Has anything changed in your mind? Are we still on track to handle that and move forward on the next audit, considering the fact that we were thinking that, you know, if we got these first ones out and focused on the last one, that we might be in a better place with respect to the most recent audit?
So I tried to kind of emphasize this when we had our previous calls, and I apologize if it didn't come across clearly enough. I know, not being necessarily auditor, sometimes I can get into audit language that isn't normal English, but really and truly where we are with the audit is, I mean, we need to issue financial statements, audited financial statements. Now, whether the opinion is clean or not, there's certain aspects of the stuff that we've requested that, quite frankly, we need just to be able to put financial statements together, you know, footnotes, disclosures, things like that. If we don't get that information and we can't basically prepare and issue a complete financial statements, including footnotes, then that's much more severe than just a disclaimer. So I think the thing that what I was really trying to say when we were talking before is, if we have spotty support for revenue and expenses, I think we can kind of, you know, deal with what we have. But, you know, I think one of the things we talked a lot about in the past was the cash area. And I know that one of the radio stations was having a lot of trouble providing things to George, and George was having to go back and re-reconcile things. If we don't nail down at least better than what we've gotten so far the balance sheet, then it casts a shadow over 18, and then presumably will cast a shadow over 19, because the balance sheet, that's everything at a point in time. It rolls forward. Everything builds on it. If you don't have that nailed down, and particularly cash, then it really calls into question a lot of other things. So what I was hoping that everybody was working towards was getting us, you know, when I think it was on a call maybe 2 weeks ago, and I think you and Wandrin were also on that call, you know, we need like investment statements, investment roll forwards. We need the fixed asset listing, stuff like that, just so that we can kind of pull that together. We needed George and his group to wrap up what they were working on with cash. I know in an email that he circulated earlier today, he mentioned that he was, I think he mentioned he had pretty much tied down most of the balance sheet, but I think it must be going through a review process at his organization because I don't think he's uploaded all of those things to our portal. But I know he mentioned AP and accrues and some of those things that he needed to do that would be reflected on the balance sheet. So that's what we need regardless of where the opinion goes. I think so far we've got enough stuff that's a little open and I don't mean to use the word sketchy, but just not completely supported in revenue expenses where we're just missing documentation that I think we're definitely still in that situation where we'd be at a scope limitation or a disclaimer. But I'm just trying to make sure that we've got all the stuff that we possibly can related to the balance sheet so that, you know, who knows, maybe conceivably 18 has better support and documentation and maybe that's a clean opinion. I don't know without having done the audit, but I wasn't trying to express fast forward through 17 and 18 with the idea that 19 would be a clean opinion because at the same time, like I said, some of these things have an impact on future periods. And so if there's doubt about the numbers that those future periods are based on, then, you know, I don't want anything to kind of upset the apple cart since I know that you guys are working really hard to get 19 in order for the sake of, you know, applying for grants in 2020 and so forth. So, and I think George has been really clear on that. I think he understood that when we've been talking in the interim. And I think that's where his group has been working towards getting that information. So I can speak for George. I don't know where he is in the process. I suspect from his email today that he's probably still getting stuff from the different stations and maybe going through their due diligence to make sure that what he forwards to us has some semblance of accuracy and completeness to it. And then once he uploads all that stuff and says, hey, we've gotten you everything we think we have and everything we think we owe you, then that will be a point where I can more effectively schedule people and get through those things.
Yep, Scott, let me follow up on that real quick. The reason I wanted Scott to
okay, go ahead.
That, I think it's important for this committee to understand that, you know, there is a strategy in place. I believe we're still on time for it. And the reason I say that is because I've been asked, when are we going to be able to provide a financial report from the national office for the organization as a whole and the national office specifically. And when I spoke to Larry Dankner regarding that, our interim CFO, he has been very clear that he didn't think he could do one that would be accurate until April at the very earliest, but more likely May. And so I wanted Scott to kind of give you an idea of the timeline we're working with. And I think what I just said there hopefully complements it in a way so that you know there is a plan. We have certain deadlines that we're looking at to be able to even produce a financial report, which obviously speaks to some of the needs that Scott has for the audit prior to, because we couldn't do a financial year 19 or 20 report, if we don't have the right balances for 18 and prior. So just want to lay that out.
Yeah, I would agree. We definitely still have a strategy in place. In terms of the timeline, I'll be honest, I'm a little at a loss and maybe a little bit frustrated because I know in the last 2 or 3 months, there have been several times when I've been trying to reschedule my folks where I've sort of reached out and said, this is what's open. This is what we're waiting on. Can you provide me an ETA on when you anticipate being able to get it to us? And, you know, I say that knowing that probably if they knew the answer to that, they would provide the answer to that. So they're in a little bit of a, you know, caught in the middle as well. But, you know, I would say that, you know, as I've mentioned before, we're kind of in the height of our busy season at this point. So I really just, have reached out, and I really need George. I really need the folks at National, Maxi, you, Wandrin, to the extent that you guys are a part of it, to, you know, if you anticipate, hey, in 2 weeks we should have everything wrapped up to you, then that will help me so that I can go ahead and get, you know, staff redeployed and on the schedule to work on things, because, you know, I can't exactly pull them off of an audit, mid-audit, to get restarted on this one. I kind of have to, I'm going to need a week or two lead time just to kind of work them into it. But that being said, I would say you're probably for, I'd say, a complete 17 issued report, I would say that end of April would probably be no earlier than that, because I'm thinking, you know, if we've got a couple more weeks to get the last few things from you guys and then get people scheduled, we're probably looking at mid to late March of finishing that field work and then getting through reviews and then getting it issued, which is kind of why I was suggesting the strategy that maybe we can go ahead and send you guys the fiscal year 18 audit request list, and, you know, depending on what resources are with NEDA or with you guys at National, maybe you guys can start working on that while you're also wrapping up the request items for 17, just so there's not kind of a lag time.
Noted.
Into the stack, how will we commute?
Grace for the staff.
How will we notify people that we want to get, you know, start pulling together documentation for 2018? Is that something Maxi will be sending out as Inky? Where should that come from?
Yeah, as Scott mentioned, we NEDA, the national office, and Scott and his team, we meet every Monday to kind of find out where things are and what's needed and kind of update. We obviously, as he mentioned, didn't meet today. That meeting informs how we address the business managers on Wednesday. And so Wednesday is when we make sure we're clear with the business managers, what is needed, the GMs who are on that call as well. And so that's when that notice is made. So, I mean, we have the systems in place for this. There's nothing I think the committee needs to do necessarily, but keep asking questions like you have been. But the bottom line is, you know, we've got the systems in place to get the folks on the ground moving. It's just a matter of them being able to do it, because, and this is what the reality is with NETA, is that they found very early on that this was a much more complex project and that our books were in much worse shape than I think they imagined. And that's why they are having as much of a delay or repeated delays, because they just had no idea that our bookkeeping was in such bad shape.
Okay. Grace, go ahead.
Yes. I'd like to suggest that we have George come to the next audit committee meeting so we can ask George questions and possibly have Scott on as well. I have questions. Obviously, this audit has been delayed for a very long time. I'd like a lot more specifics. I'd like to know what the holdups are. Are there some stations that are where the accounting is much more defective than other stations? Is there a lack of staff? Is the staff not up to the job? Have there been past deficiencies which are making this gathering the information difficult? In other words, I think it's time for the audit committee to proactively look at the problem and see if it can be debugged, because as far as I'm concerned, it's not moving forward as quickly as we would like. So I'd like to have a lot more answers, and I think it's at this point we need to speak with George, if possible, at the next audit committee meeting, and possibly Scott as well. And possibly we need to have a closed session for that, as well as an open session, so that we can drill down to the deficiencies, and they may be personnel deficiencies. I'm not sure, but we don't have enough information to work on. All we know is that there's a plan, but we've been hearing that for months, and we're not
Maxi to the stack.
Okay,
anyway,
go ahead.
I'd like to suggest that we ask George to be on the next call.
Yeah, I got it. Thank you, Grace.
And George was scheduled to be on this call. I understand he was returning from vacation or something over a long weekend, so that's why he wasn't on this call. And Scott is on, and I'm sure, you know, as they've been willing to do it in the past, they certainly be willing to do it moving forward. There are two things I want to point out in relation to what Grace brings up, and I'm not disagreeing with Grace that, you know, there's a need perhaps for the committee to really do a harsh review of personnel and other matters for consideration. The bottom line is, you know, our financial mismanagement and poor reporting goes back to 2012. So this is not new. This is something that was demonstrated in the national office with the previous chief financial officer and his crew that predate, obviously, the folks doing the work now. This also was evident in the fact that Anita recognized very early on that none, and I mean none, of our current business managers had the necessary accounting background to do the necessary work moving forward. Now, that doesn't mean that they can't be trained up. It certainly doesn't mean that we want to give up on them. It just means that we've got some work to do to bring their skill sets up. Because for some reason, this organization failed to require its folks in the financial management positions, whether that be staff, whether that be in the national office, whether it be at the local office, or even with the oversight by the committees themselves on the board, both at the local and national level, that there were folks dropping the ball all over the place. And so we have if you want to do, and this is my recommendation, if you're going to do a review, you have to do a holistic 360 review. We cannot stop and blame just the staff. We certainly can't blame the people who are working on things now, because these issues we have are systemic. They are historic, and it would be short-sighted to view it in that lens. So while I certainly think we should ask the question, do we have the right people in place now moving forward, we also need this committee, and I'm not this committee, but the board needs to hire a permanent CFO, or at least one to replace Dankner when he discontinues his work. Remember, he's only on a temporary basis for us. And so we've got a lot of work to do, not only in terms of assessing how we got here, why we got here, who's all involved with respect to blame, where are the deficits in terms of our financial management and accounting moving forward. But do not forget to do a retroactive look and ask who are on the committees that should have been providing better oversight for this, both at the local and national level, because therein, I think, is where you're going to find a lot of the issues. I will remind you, and this is my last thing I'll say on this, when CPB provided its report, I think maybe mixing my two reports up, but there was a report on our financials. I think it might have been I think it was CPB. All of our stations lacked compliance with respect to financial reporting. There was not one station among our five that was clean. So I don't want to give this illusion that we've got problem stations and that all the other stations are performing adequately. That's not the case. We don't have one station that is clean with respect to the historical analysis of the financials of this organization from the national, from West Coast to East Coast in Houston. So nobody's clean on this. That's all I got to say.
Going into the stack, please.
Okay.
Paulina,
go ahead.
Thank you, Maxie, for that evaluation. My question is, when was the last time that we had a full financial reports and balance sheet for each station? What is the last date for which we actually have balance sheet and financial statements?
I'm just going to interrupt since Scott has to leave in about 5 minutes. Let's take advantage of him being here, and then we can get back to other things. To anybody else, Scott, if you have more that you want to say at the moment.
I was going to tag on to what Maxie said, but I think I can answer the question that was just posed. The last audited financial statements that you have are the ones for the fiscal year ended 9/30/16. So that would be the last where somebody's given an opinion and blessed those numbers. That's the last or most current numbers that you have that have at least been audited.
To clarify my question, not necessarily audited, but actually provided, right?
I'm pretty sure you're talking about the monthly statements, the monthly
internal
profit and loss and balance sheet, and I believe that was October 7, 2017.
I have the, yes, I mean, the last thing I received was the October 2017 financial statements, but what about a balance sheet?
Can't help you there. Let's come back to that, though, in a minute. Scott, have you got anything else you want to share with us before you have to get off?
I mean, I've been on probably more audit committee calls with you guys in the last few months than I've been with most of my clients, so I'm more than happy to be
on
in the future and whatever calls you need. I think I agree with what Maxi said. I think the problems that you have are very systemic, and the only thing that I would do is kind of maybe circle you back to the management letter that your prior auditor issued with that 16 audit. I will give him kudos for the fact that was a pretty comprehensive management letter. And when you go through and you read and you hear about material weaknesses and significant deficiencies, these are basically, as auditors, when you bring it to that level, the lowest level of infraction would be a control deficiency. Something more widespread would be a significant deficiency, and something that's just, you know, for lack of a dramatic word, catastrophic would be a material weakness. And when you go through, and I think it was about 35, 36 pages, he's listed out it's almost like a case study in Audit 101. It's talking about segregation of duties. It's talking about all the issues. And I think to Maxie's point, for it to have been presented at that level and so comprehensively, it is, maybe he's got some stations that are a little better than others in terms of how they process things, but it's system-wide for it to rise to that level. So I think to maybe give some perspective, if this has been going on for a number of years and these are the kinds of issues that you're dealing with, unfortunately, it takes a little bit of time, a heck of a lot of effort to kind of turn the ship. It's not going to turn on a dime, and I think there's probably more progress being made than what is indicative about the timeline with the audit. I agree and share everyone's frustration with how long the audit process is taking, but I think that you guys do have things in place. I think the fact that from our previous call, the fact that George's group is taking over some of the stations and doing the accounting and putting some processes in place, that's all good, and that's what's going forward. And right now, we just got to kind of try to get through the next couple of months and getting, you know, the past sins and garbage cleaned up so that we can kind of only look forward from that point on. So I agree. I think George needs to be on the call. I kind of shared some frustration with Eileen that I know I'm on these calls talking about audit status, but I'm kind of almost as lost as you guys are because I'm not getting a lot of proactive updates or ETAs on when things are coming. So I'm having to ask the same questions. I'm having to wait and see what pops up in the portal. And it really is not the way that I typically like to schedule things, plan things, and so forth. So I think maybe as suggested, if the next call, if we do have George, myself, and National on the call, I think that would be probably most helpful for everybody because then you've got all the players and everybody can kind of talk about, you know, what's going on. Because I can only suppose what's going on at NEDA, and I don't know what their resources are and where how they have them deployed. That's beyond my pay grade, so to speak. But anyway, I guess I would just say if there's any real questions, go back and read that management letter because it really is very telling about, you know, where the organization is internally.
This is Grace.
Okay. Thank you, Scott. I guess you've got to get going. So thanks, as always, for your inputs and
if there's
information.
I mean, if somebody else has a question, I'm happy to field the question, but if not, I certainly...
Paulina had a very brief question.
Okay, go ahead, Paulina, if it's for Scott. Yeah.
Scott, were you referring to the actual 2016 audit or to a different letter about the audit? Because I the only information I have is the actual published audit. If there is something, if there's something else, could somebody forward that to the committee, please? Thank you. That's all.
I'm referring to the board communication letter. So that's a required document with every audit. It should have accompanied the audited financial statement and audit report for 16.
Because I'm new to the committee, could somebody forward that to me, please? I would love to see it. Thank you.
We'll explain that. Yeah, sure, Paulina. Let me put that in caps. Forward. Yeah. Okay. Thanks again, Scott. We'll be in touch.
No problem. You guys
have
a nice evening.
Or email.
Bye.
Thanks,
Scott. Okay.
Appreciate it.
Thanks. Yeah, Paulina, for just to let you know, every audit is accompanied by what we usually call the management letter that kind of details what any problems might be. And that's not usually shared with the public, I believe. We're not required to share it. So I don't believe we have made it public, but yes, everybody on this committee should have seen it, or, you know, if they haven't, they have seen it or should have seen it. So yes, if anybody else needs it, I will forward it. Yeah, it's long. Okay. And then Grace was next on the stack.
Yes, I understand that our financial infrastructure basically has to be rebuilt from the bottom up. It's very flawed. Understand that. And I don't think that spending a lot of time with fault finding either in the present or the past, it will be helpful, except as it leads us to plan what we're going to do to get our financial reporting to be current and accurate. So I'd just like to have that focus. But as an audit committee, I think we would be derelict in our duties if we didn't ask for a plan that's very specific about what is going to be done to remedy everything in the management letter from the last audit, and also to add staff, whatever has to be done, or modify the way that the reporting is done electronically, whatever steps need to be taken as a whole and at each separate station so that we are making significant progress in getting our financial infrastructure functional and the audits done, and so that moving forward we won't be running into this problem over and over again. That may take some address to staff issues, but the point, the focus should be on getting it fixed and how we're going to do that rather than fault finding. I don't think fault finding is that productive.
Good. Was that Maxie to the staff?
It is. If you all just review the NES contract, the NETA contract, I'm sorry, you will find some of the measures that Grace perhaps is referring to in terms of what we're doing to address the problems moving forward. One of the things NETA is doing currently is taking over the accounting work for two of our stations and the national office. For the other three stations, they are providing oversight, which means they're reviewing the material. But in addition to that, they are providing new procedures for record keeping, accounting, and financial management so that we are not derelict in the way that we've been in the past. So I think if this committee, if members of this committee have not seen that agreement, that might be useful, Eileen, for you to distribute that, because I think that will answer a lot of the questions that Grace has put forward. And if there are still things unanswered, then we can certainly address that. But I would argue that a significant amount of what Grace is bringing up is literally in that contract, in the agreement with NETA.
Okay, me
this is Grace
back.
Again to follow up.
Okay. Go ahead.
Yes. course, I'm familiar with that contract, but what I would like to see is a more specific plan. For instance, Station A has a part-time bookkeeper, business manager who's not skilled enough. I'm not referring, I'm being theoretical with a fantasy
right.
station. Station A only has a part-time bookkeeper, needs a full-time business manager with higher skill levels, what we're going to do about it is this, this, and this. Station B has a full-time bookkeeper, so on and so forth, but that bookkeeper doesn't understand this procedure, needs to be trained, so on and so forth, and what we're going to do about it is this. The bank accounts are at different banks, and that's causing confusion. So what we're going to do is we're going to have all the bank accounts be in one central bank, and so on and so forth. So I would like a plan that includes a certain degree of specificity. And so we drill down to the individual problems at the different stations.
Okay, after me. Maxie, is the finance committee discussing any of this? Seems like they should be very involved in, you know, any reforms of our financial systems.
The finance committee calls that I've been a part of have really focused more on receipt of budget, approval of budgets. There have been, I believe, conversations about, revenue structure, but I don't recall there being anything with respect to what Grace is asking about. Grace asked some very legitimate questions. I think a report of that nature could probably be put together. The question is how soon, considering that, we're still, in many respects, learning the skill sets of the staff, particularly with respect to the new systems that any TA wants to put in place. So I'm not sure we're in a position to say that we know that we have deficiencies in the capacity of our staff. What we can say is where they are currently. I think we could probably provide that kind of auditing, if you will, of our current staff. But to say if they're capable of moving forward with what NEED is doing, it may be premature because I don't know how much they've been able to unravel or unfurl, if you will, those systems. So, like I said, I think it's a legitimate want, and I certainly want to provide that for this committee and for the finance committee and even for the board if necessary as a whole, because that's a very legitimate roster of questions. So hopefully we'll get to that point sometime soon. And I can certainly bring that up when we meet next with Nita to see what kind of timeline. Grace, if it's not too much trouble, you might want to list those as questions that you can forward to me, and I can put a report together based on that series of questions.
I will do that, and I'll also copy this committee on it.
Good, thank you. Okay, Serene, go ahead, and then me to the stack after that.
Okay, thanks. So, the committee's role is to ensure that the audits are done in as efficient a manner and timely as a manner as possible. But the individual shortcomings of staff at the stations is not this committee's business, nor is it the finance committee's business, nor is it, frankly, the personnel committee's business. It is a situation that management has to deal with, national management working with station management, since the GMs are the ones who hire and evaluate, hopefully, the business managers. So certainly, we want to make sure that the staff that are there have the skills, or where they don't have the skills, that pursuant to whatever contract there is, and it's different at different stations. I don't know, who covers what, but to make sure that staff gets the training that is needed to be able to get the job done. But it is not for this committee. It is not for this committee to say, well, you know, business manager over there has a problem and this one needs to go back and get it. That's a management decision. And it's not even a management decision that I think the executive director, even in executive session, should be reporting on to the board. His role is to get them the training. And if after training the performance is still an issue, then you need to work with the station managers to decide within the person's contract how that gets resolved. There's a lot of overreaching here and saying that we're just interested in getting the CPB money, which someone announced on air was going to be back like very shortly, which is not the picture that I quite see, but whatever. You know, we have our task, but let the managers manage. That's why they're hired. So I disagree that we need to go into executive session to discuss, you know, because the board has a tendency to personalize things. And as I said, to overreach and sometimes overstep. Let the managers manage.
Thank you, Sreed. I just wanted to ask another question about, you know, when we're talking about where are the deficiencies and how are we going to rectify them, isn't it part of NADA's job to provide this analysis and suggestions and recommendations for revamping our systems? I'm, you know, tell me if I'm wrong, but I've felt like we're in a stage right now where we're running to catch up with the audits, and on Larry's side, we're kind of running to get things in motion the way they should be, and, you know, that takes a lot of effort. But I should think that we'll get to some point where NADA would have a pretty clear idea of what's going on and what, you know, the most that's part of their job, to help Pacifica figure out what changes need to be made. Does anyone have a comment there?
Well, Maxie, to the stack.
Sure. Go ahead, Maxie.
Yeah, I think what Serene said is accurate. We have a tendency to have, I would argue, some overreach with our board. With our boards, that happens. I've noticed that happens at the local station level. It happens at the national level, and it certainly happens with committees. But as I said earlier, the NETA contract is designed to address these deficiencies. And while I see NETA as part of the operational aspect of the organization and something that, as was stated, management should be focused on and to find ways to resolve it, I feel like we're in that mode right now. I think from a historical standpoint, it's important for me to articulate that when we first looked at hiring NETA or revising the more recent contract, one of the things I wanted to do was ensure that our business managers at the local stations remained in place with the hopes that we could train them up and have some institutional knowledge. We have increased the amount of expenditure on those agreements with NETA so that we could make sure that NETA is very hands-on with that process and doing some of the work where there are no business managers in place. And so that has been, I think, an effort that was logical considering where we are and in what these audits tell us and what our financial management and accounting looks like. That was a very needed step, and so we're there. And so from a management standpoint, at both at the executive director level and at the local level, again, as I said earlier, I think we're in an assessment mode with our current roster of individuals working to understand if they have the capacity to do the work as NETA is describing their need to do these efforts moving forward. I think we're going to know in very short order whether the people we have currently can do it. And for the two stations that don't have business managers, D.C. and
New York,
we certainly need to make hires there. Because I think we all know that the NETA agreement is 2 years. And once that agreement is over, we have some hard questions to ask. You know, do we want them to continue in some capacity, or are we in a position to have new blood, new personnel move forward in a very financially responsible manner? But let's not forget that another element to this, and this is again why I brought up what I said a few statements ago. It's important that we have boards at the local station level that understand financial management, so that when the committees are doing their work at the local level, they're holding our people in the staffing accountable for reporting. That went astray before. So while you may not want to do the fact-finding and fault-laying, that's fine. But I think we have to look at the whole system. And I think another question we might want to put on the table is, should we centralize our financial management and accounting process? What's the real value in having it done individually at the station level when we're a national organization viewed by CPB as one single organization? If in fact CPB and the money that we can get from that is such a big pull. But I think that's a serious question that should be addressed from a policy standpoint. Because if it was an operational one, I would have made that call a long time ago. So that's where I'll leave that. The only thing I'll say tangential to that in terms of, when we are in a position to hire development directors, our general managers are already being engaged with the greater public organization to increase their ability to generate revenue at the station level. And we're eyeing either membership in the Public Radio Program Directors Association, or at least me providing some webinars and training to up the skill level of our programmers. So across our entire organization, at every station, we're looking at how can we increase the professional development of our staff. The business area, the finance and accounting is one of those as well.
Okay, great.
Thank you,
Grace, for the sec. Yes, thank you.
Go ahead, Grace.
Okay, I'm going to send a bit of information from prior audit committees. It's from the National Council of Nonprofits, and it's titled, What Does an Audit Committee Do? And this is just the opinion of that organization, but it states here that part of it says the audit committee may also be delegated the authority in its charter or by board resolution to investigate/resolve any concerns about financial controls and to proactively take steps to prevent financial mismanagement. I think that the audit committee responsibilities and duties exceed just watching and keeping tabs on what's happening. And as a national board member, I have a fiduciary responsibility to not only make sure to ensure that proper procedures are put in place, even if that means a deeper investigation and basically demanding more information so that the board has the ability to conceive of resolutions in terms of policy and change of procedures. So I'm going to send this to this committee and to Maxie, so that we get an idea. We're on the same page as to what our duties are as an audit committee. If there are anything else, this is from this is from the National Council of Nonprofits, but there may be other definitions for what the roles and responsibilities of audit committee members are. And that would be helpful to the committee as well.
Thank you, Grace. Yeah. There is a lot written online that you can find online. There are a lot of different associations and corporations and councils and everything writing on this. So you can find, you know, minimal kinds of definitions of what the audit committee does to more expanded ones like the one you are quoting here. I'm just wondering if anybody else in Pacifica is actually looking at these problems beyond Maxi, you know, beyond the operational management side, you know, is the PNB looking at this? If the finance committee isn't, you know, it's that seems strange to me. That's all I want to say there.
This is Serene.
Serene, go ahead.
Okay, so I think the idea about making sure that, you know, controls are in place is why I raised a couple of weeks ago when we last spoke the idea of updating the policy and procedure manual. It is our responsibility to make sure that it exists, that it's current, and
right.
that it is followed. But again, that does not put us in a position to evaluate staff. Do you have, I'm sorry, Max, you might have said this, but do we have a timeline by which they expect to have a current, bring the manual current?
I'm sorry, which manual are you speaking of? Personnel committee manual?
The financial policies and procedure manual.
I'm not familiar with that at all, so I wouldn't be able to respond to that. Knowing it in that name, but I'm not familiar with a manual for policy and procedure around that being addressed at all. That's news to me.
Well, I'll dig it up and send it to you. I thought when you said that. That they were making sure that there were, you know, practices, established practices were being followed. I assume you meant in the production of a manual. I had mentioned it towards the end of our last call, but I'll dig it up and send it.
That'll be good. No, I was referring to the fact that NIDA is employing best practices around financial management and accounting, and they're sharing that information, those procedures and policy with the staff, so that they can do things in a way that's more commensurate with the demands of the CPB, CSG funding, as well as just standard accounting principles.
Me to the stack. Just to address that, Serene.
I have something briefly to say. This is Grace, also after you finished,
oh.
I'd like to.
Oh, okay, it. After me. Yeah, I believe that NIDA is actually trying to codify all that into a manual. You know, it's take some time to rewrite all this because apparently we have a manual from around 2001 that might have been updated somehow around 2010, but nobody knows where that one is. So, yeah.
Well,
Serene, you had mentioned that at the last meeting. Excuse me, I'm still speaking. I don't know who was interrupting there. But I remember that Serene did mention that at the last meeting, and basically we can ask Larry Danker where that is, and I'd be happy to do that, unless Maxie, do you want to do that? Or I will. Okay, who
I'm
was, Grace was next?
Yes, I was next. Actually, a listener.
Wait, Grace, wait a minute.
Yes.
I'm sorry, Serene, were you trying to follow up?
You said you were going to ask who to check on the status?
Oh, that's Larry Denker. He's the one at NIDA who is working on current operations, current and ongoing.
No,
as opposed to working on the audit.
I just didn't catch the name. Okay.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay, Grace, go ahead.
Okay. Obviously, a concerned listener was listening in on our stream, and he sent an email to the national board that's pertinent to this, and the quote is, quote, "The committee also has the authority to initiate special investigations in cases where it is determined that accounting practices are problematic or suspect, or when serious issues arise with employees." And that's from an Investopedia article. So I will send that to this committee, that reference to this committee, so you can look it over.
Investopedia. Okay, great.
Yes.
All right. I guess these would be things to read over before our next meeting, perhaps, and we can discuss them then, if that makes sense. But let's see. Where are we exactly in our agenda? I think we should move on. I did want to touch on the issue of the franchise tax board. That really just became clear recently to those of us who saw the most recent communications. For the listening audience, it was clarified to us, it has been clarified to us before, but it was clarified to us again, that we've been worried about complying with the timeline we gave to California's, whatever they call it, the Office of Charitable Registration that is under the Attorney General, that they would have the ability to compromise our nonprofit status. And we've been informed by one of our lawyers that it's not them that does that. It's the California Franchise Tax Board that can do that, and indeed has done it in the past. They've rescinded our nonprofit status, but they did restore it once we complied. I would have to read back through the history of what happened when. But it's also not clear to me if we need to be in touch with the Franchise Tax Board now to let them know what's going on with us so they don't think we're just evading or ignoring or, you know, skating by. And the auditor in Scott had made it, had written earlier that he believes it's management that needs to do that. So, Maxie, had you seen that communication and
I have seen it. Most of it came through over the weekend, or maybe the latter part of the weekend, a week, I should say. So, you know, we'll address it. So much of the back and forth we had had with folks was in conflict with what we had heard with respect to the AG's office. So, I'm glad that this was sort of clarified, and we'll proceed with doing it. I think the other element to this, and I could be wrong on this, but if I remember correctly, there's a matter of how soon do you make notice of it, because it's public record. And so I just need to do a little due diligence to understand the impact of that. So it may be a small thing, but that's part of the equation. But yeah, we'll get on early this week and have that done before the week's out.
Great. Yeah, I was. I had asked the lawyer, you know, who at the Franchise Tax Board do we need to actually be in touch with? And he didn't quite answer that question. I downloaded their org chart, but it's not actually very helpful.
We'll find out.
So
we'll find out who it is.
That's great. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, and, you know, do whatever is strategically the right thing to do. That'd be great. Okay, so any other questions or comments on that part of our agenda? Or is that pretty much settled for the moment? Okay. All right. Does anybody else have any other issues they would like to touch on within the audit committee at this time? Yes, that was my point. What else? Okay, Paulina, go ahead.
I was wondering if it's possible, before we adjourn, for us to recap the specific duties and responsibilities and commitments that members of this audit committee and or management are making as part, you know, coming out of our meeting, because it's really good to have, I think, a clear idea of what each person is, you know, committing to do in the next week or so before we meet. And I know this is part of the minutes, but because we haven't had minutes, it would be great if we just put that on record. So committee member X has promised to do Y, so and so forth. Let's see what the other members think.
Yeah. If nobody else wants to speak, We actually have a point called action items and any other new business, and sometimes we've just skipped over it because we've had them, they've come up sort of during the discussions, but we can definitely address that point in a few minutes. And
great,
that's
thank
a good
you.
Thing to do. Sorry? What? Okay, I didn't catch that. So we will get to that then. I just did want to ask about maybe people from the PNB or anybody else who's up to date on what's going on with the elections and when will we be wanting to do we elect or appoint or choose new officers on this committee?
This is Grace. I can respond to that.
Thank you, Grace. Go ahead.
The last day to cast a ballot is March 5th. This is some of the stations. If a station does not reach its quorum in either the listener election or the staff election, the election at those either one of those elections will be extended at the discretion of the NES for a period of 2 to 4 weeks. The stations, none of the stations have reached quorum so far. I can get you the exact statistics as of Friday.
I don't care about, yeah. No, I don't need that.
Yeah. Okay, so the deadline for casting a ballot is March 5th. It will take the calculations, counting the ballots for a week or two, and then after that, hopefully all stations will reach quorum, and after the candidates who have won seats, their stations will lose them, and then there'll be an election for officers, an election for national board directors. So I would say that probably sometime in April, hopefully, there will be new boards seated and national board members selected. And at that time, after that, we can have elections for, I imagine, a month after that. So I would say May would be the time for expecting a new audit committee to be seated.
Okay. I have questions about that, but they're not really relevant to this committee. So thank you for that. I do have one more point that I would like to mention, but go ahead with your question first. Is that Paulina? Or who is that?
No, it's Elaine. I'm sorry, Paulina, were you asking also?
No, I think it was just you, Serene. Then. Sorry, I just couldn't tell who it was. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm wondering, Grace, can you send the rest of us the information that you have about quorum as of Friday? Because I haven't seen any reports.
Yes, if you'd like, I can read it. But otherwise, I can send it to the committee.
Just send it. I think that's fine. Yes.
Okay, put in a motion to the LSB. That's the easiest way for me to find it, so I will send it to you. It's included in this motion that we passed at our LSD meeting yesterday.
Okay. Included in a... Okay, thank you. From KPFK. KPFK LSD. Thank you, Grace. I wanted to touch on the issue of the minutes that we are missing. Our secretary has not responded to a number of emails on this question that I have tried to contact her about it, and I believe others have. And I'm not sure what to do. I usually take notes as we go through the meeting. I just sort of type as quickly as I can, but it doesn't mean I catch everything. But if we need to reconstruct minutes, Well, other people have been acting as secretaries, so some of those meetings are covered, but not all of them. So at some point, we'll need to review what we do and don't have and put together at least, you know, the minimum. Does anybody else have any comment on that? Sorry, is that Celine?
Celine.
Okay, you're coming through a little garbled, that's why I couldn't quite tell.
Oh,
okay,
yeah, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Serene.
I don't know.
It's okay.
So
go ahead.
I know that at one point we had gotten a bunch of draft minutes that folks said had too much information for them. I would like to suggest that we accept those minutes for consideration and just, you know, file them wherever they need to be filed and be done. I think there are probably only two or three sets of minutes that we actually didn't receive any version of. But there were a bunch that we received. I mean, you know, it's like two more minutes to read the page than you would have taken otherwise. I don't think it's worth delaying for. We have them. We should revisit them and just, you know, approve them, correct them, whatever is needed, and move on.
I'll respond. I think that would be fine as long as we read them over and make sure that, you know, we don't have any corrections. We did, and it may have been during a meeting that you weren't here for. We did make, and I actually said I would write these things up, and I haven't. So another thing I owe everybody. But we decided that we would make our official minutes just the short versions that have like agreements or motions or resolutions, whatever they would be in them, but that we could also produce the more substantive notes to share, you know, to have the background sort of discussions, because those are always helpful to refer to. But I think, you know, we hadn't decided that at the time that those minutes were offered. So I think your suggestion is adequate. We just need to figure out what we do and don't have from here. And I don't know. I think Carol and Grace maybe were working on that a bit as well. Grace, is that correct? Or am I wrong?
Yes.
Okay.
I will try to put together what I can.
Okay, yeah, just the dates of the meetings and what we do and don't have.
But
so that would be great.
I believe that, was it Julie who took the minutes for the last meeting? And do we have a set minutes? Do we have a set of minutes to approve tonight?
Do you want me to answer?
Go ahead.
Part of the question, this is Julie. Actually, I think Carol was taking minutes at the last meeting.
Okay.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Sorry.
That may be. We'll track them all down, but we should probably do it before May and get them all in order. That would be great. We'll figure that out. Maybe at the next meeting. And speaking of the next meeting, before we do that, let's go over our action items that we've gotten tonight. Julie, maybe you have recorded them.
So one that I wrote down was Eileen was going to forward the 2016 management letter to Paulina and presumably any other new members of the committee.
Yeah. And I will also forward... I believe I have a copy of the NIDA contract, and Maxie, I guess, said I should distribute that, so I can do that as well. I will just send both documents to everybody. What else do we have? We have some action items for Maxie.
Right. One of those was the due diligence that Maxie wanted to do on... it's figuring out the next step with notifying the Franchise Tax Board or when's the appropriate time to do that.
Right. And, okay. Other action items that anybody has noted?
Yes, Paulina here.
Go ahead, Paulina.
So what I mentioned previously, maybe a recap of the commitments, the agreements that this meeting has come up with over this evening's call.
I'm sorry, isn't that what we're doing?
Yes, certainly. No, but I mean also the specifics, for instance, who is going to draft the letter to, let's say, the Franchise Tax Board, who is the specifics of who is in charge of carrying out the next action items. But you're right, yes, this is what we're doing. Sorry, I got dropped off the call for 3 minutes. My bad. Thank you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's all Maxie on the with regard to the Franchise Tax Board. Okay, anything else that anyone has noted or noticed or jotted down or thinks we should have?
Grace was going to send some questions to Maxie, specific questions about related to kind of the, right.
I will write those and I'll send it to Maxie. And as I mentioned, I'll forward it. I'll copy all of you on it as well, on them as well.
Right. And you're also going to send us a couple of other documents from Investopedia and from the National, National Council of Foundations. Yeah.
Yes, I
Some already information on. Okay, great.
I sent those already.
Oh, yeah. Paulina, one more thing.
Go ahead, Paulina.
I think I sent an email to the whole committee that you, Eileen, were going to forward to me or whoever else might not have it, the letter the management regarding the 2016 audit, as well as the NETA contract, which Scott was mentioning as important. Yes, in Maxie's. Well, thank you.
Yeah, we mentioned that. That must have been when you dropped off.
So, right, exactly.
Okay, great.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Okay. So, I don't know. I haven't got anything else right now. Do we want to meet again in 2 weeks? Does that seem like a good time?
Sure.
Let's see. Do I have a calendar open? No. Yes. So today is the 18th. That would be what? That would be March 4th. What do you think? Is that going to work for people? 2 weeks?
So this is Julie wondering, did we agree once upon a time to stay away from the first and the third Mondays because that's when Carol has a standing conflict with the Strategic Planning Committee?
I think so, but I'm also not sure I'm willing to either advance or postpone our meeting because of that.
Okay.
I don't know what other people think. I could go look and see if that meeting is scheduled. Let me go over there. Give me a second. Meetings. Let's see, March 4th. There's nothing scheduled on March 4th yet.
Let's jump on it.
All right. We'll do that. Okay. So March 4th, 2 weeks. I would like to say that I will try to get in touch with George and get information in between now and then, but I lately, you know, with the new job, I just don't find time for other things during the week. So I don't want to make promises I can't keep. If
Paulina,
I do hear anything, we'll share it. Yes, Paulina.
who I don't I'm not in direct contact with George is Eileen, if that's too much, is there anybody else that can let George know that we would love to hear from him, for him to be on this call for the next meeting, because I really do think this would be important.
Yes, I will. In fact, in an earlier, Scott suggested that I actually send out a meeting invitation to George and other people who are not part of our committee to make sure they know about it and can prepare for it. So I will do that. Let me add that to my to-dos. And meeting invitation to George and others for the 4th. Okay, I will do that. And I'll send him a note. Let me put it on my list. Send George a note to ask him if he wants to update us on something. He can update us. And I'll share that with you. I will copy everyone on that copy committee. Sometimes I don't copy the whole committee because I don't want to, like, afflict you with, you know, trivial back and forth, you know, one-line emails or something. So that's the only reason. But I will copy you guys on this.
I wouldn't mind that at all. Thank you.
Okay. Does anybody have anything else? If not, I think we can adjourn this meeting.
Good night.
Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Thank you.
All right.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, everybody. Have a great night.
Thank you very much.